going to start our meeting. This is very hard to get up on this last morning. So we're 25 minutes late, and we have the pleasure to have with us Patrick Feldstorm, who was not able to present yesterday because we were late. So today we're going to have this presentation on the SSAC, which is Security and Stability Advisory Committee. He is the chairman of that entity, and he's going to present right now.
Once upon a time, I actually studied French, but then I lived in Montreal for 2 years, and that confused my brain so much after that. I know approximately how to tell people that I'd rather do things in English than French. Good morning, everyone. So, I am chair of the Security and Stability Advisory Committee of ICANN. And we are one of the advisory committees, and you have got some information on the difference between the supporting organizations and advisory committees already, so I will not go through the details. Instead, I will talk with you a little bit on how we are working and what we have done, and leave some time for questions. When working with technical protocols and standards, which is what we very much do here in ICANN. We do have standards organizations like Internet Engineering Task Force, or IETF, and W3C, the World Wide Web Consortium, the Unicode Consortium, International Telecommunication Union, and others. All of them develop standards. And when discussing whether a standard is working, whether it's stable or not, it ends up being very much a theoretical discussion. What we are trying to do here is to look at the standards that we are using in the ICANN context, and not only look at whether the standards work, whether the ICANN community is selecting the right standards, but we're also looking at operational constraints. So what we are trying to do is to look at the whole picture of whether the ICANN community is going in the right direction when developing in the respective policy development processes, or if it is the case that decisions might have a risk for the overall security and stability for the various systems that ICANN is overlooking or engaging in. The Security and Stability Committee do have approximately 35 members. I say approximately just because at the moment, we are in a period when we are reviewing one-third of our members. Each year, we are reviewing one-third of the members and rotating out some, and some are reappointed. So we have some members that are, at the moment, guests and formally will be, hopefully, I'm looking at Sebastian, hopefully accepted at tomorrow's board meeting, but approximately 35 people. The members are appointed by having a membership committee looking at applicants interviewing them and see whether they live up to the first of all to the standard that we think we need as ESSAC members regarding knowledge and skill set of DNS and security in general. The next thing we are doing is that we are verifying whether the applicant is also matching what other existing members of ESSAC do not have, because we have a responsibility to ensure that all the ESSAC members together have all the skills and all the knowledge needed to be able to do a proper evaluation or proper reporting of the various questions and issues that comes up. If it is the case that the potential new members pass those interviews by the membership committee, the applicant and the applicant is presented to the whole of ESSAC, and ESSAC then accepts the member. After being accepted, the request is sent to ICANN board, which approves the selection. So we are in the middle of that cycle at the moment. This also means that if it is the case that we have an incoming liaison from some other organization or some other part of ICANN, for example from At Large, that implies that the potential applicant for to be an incoming liaison to ESSAC must be approved by the ESSAC membership members, and then approved by then confirmed by ICANN board. And the reason for this is that we have a consensus that all people that participate in ESSAC work must be full ESSAC members. And specifically, me as the chair that I've been since 1 year back do not want to have ESSAC members and then sort of non-voting or like people that are just half ESSAC members. And specifically, one of the reasons why we're doing that is that we are sometimes discussing very, very, very sensitive security issues. And sensitive not so much maybe in the from a security standpoint, but when we are writing our reports, quite often we are writing a report based on rumors and based on rumors on business cases or potential incidents that we read about in the press. And we don't want to risk that just because we're discussing a specific incident or news article, that just because we are discussing it, it might be the case that our conclusion is that the article is based on false information. And if it was the case that we are discussing, for example, a specific enterprise, we are then dismissing that rumor that the enterprise did something wrong. If we are dismissing it, it should absolutely not be known that we have been talking about that enterprise, because it might actually accelerate the amount of bad press if people knew that ESSAC were discussing specific incidents. Because of that, participation in ESSAC have explicitly very hard restrictions on non-disclosure of what we are talking about. And that only works, of course, if people trust each other. And that is the number one reason why I don't want to have any kind of discussion, for example, of having an ESSAC member not trusting an incoming liaison. When you're an ESSAC member, you're an ESSAC member. And I have been discussing personally with some ESSAC members that I feel have not behaved correctly. Everyone is an ESSAC member. So, with that as a background, let's go to the slides. So can we go back one slide, please? Thank you. What we are doing in ESSAC is that we are writing reports, and we write between 4 and 8 reports a year. So far this year, we have managed to publish report 47 to 51, and you see those on the screen. Let me just go through them quickly. The first two reports are comments from ESSAC on various issues connected to the at that point in time version of the applicant guidebook. The first one is about registered transition process model, because if it is the case that a registry goes away, there must be an ability, or there is an ability, for another registry to take up the operation, take care of the backup, and get the zone up and running again. What was described at that point in time was something we felt from ASSAC had to go through some technical scrutiny, whether the model was actually as effective as possible. We were looking at that, and the report is, at the end of the day, explaining what steps of the registry transition is the most important steps to make to minimize the amount of downtime for DNS resolution. For example, it looks very carefully and points out that getting the DNS zone up and running is much more important than, for example, to have the ability for the registrants to be able to update their name server records. So one of the comments we have is that we think that it's much more important to get the zone up and running than getting a registry up and running with authentication and authorization to let people update their name server records. We have to take the risk that the name server records that people want to change are the wrong ones for a while, but it's worth it. It's a bigger risk to push the ability to update name server records fast. And the risk is that if it is the case that your authentication authorization mechanism is not up and running properly, there is a risk for the wrong registrant to be able to update the name server records and because of that take over the zone. So that's a little bit too much in detail for these, but I wanted to give an example of what we're looking at. The rest of the documents are more generic, based on things that are happening in the world, where SAC 50 about DNS blocking is something that we wrote on specific request from the Governmental Advisory Committee, because they wanted to know whether blocking a DNS has an impact on the security and stability on the internet. Next slide, please. So what we are doing at the moment is that we, after finishing SAC 51 that we handed over to the board, that is on the, hopefully ends up on the agenda tomorrow. I just talked to Sebastian and they have quite a full agenda, and we'll see whether it actually will end up there, but I hope so. The WHOIS report 51 is developed in cooperation with both the International Registration Data Working Group, that actually I think has an open meeting later this morning, and also the WHOIS review team. It points out reasons we believe in ASSAC why the WHOIS discussions at ICANN is so complicated. And one of the reasons is that we are lacking a crisp terminology, and people use the term WHOIS for both the protocol, the service, and the database of information. And just because people don't clearly say which one of these, for example, they want to internationalize, or which one of these they would like to have authentication and authorization systems built upon, it ends up being very complicated to move forward. And for example, the Internet Engineering Task Force in 1998 already said that the WHOIS protocol is not appropriate for the kind of operations that people in the ICANN community would like to see from the WHOIS service. Okay? So the report is actually pretty simple. On the other hand, the board resolution is actually kind of complicated, because we are asking for some action from ICANN, for example, to develop a taxonomy. So the next things we are doing is that we are continuing the discussion on blocking and repudiation systems, and I'm talking about repudiation of domain names. We already, for the email application, quite often have blacklist and whitelist to be able to try to block spam. We see in ASSAC an increased interest in the community to have similar white and blacklist for also other applications. So what we are looking at is whether it is the case that these gray lists or black lists or white lists is something that are generic based on domain names instead of tied to a specific application? And if they are, what kind of harm is there a risk for in the case of a generic gray list for domain names? The other thing we are looking at has to do with domain names that do not have any dots or periods in them, like just a top-level domain. And the reason why we have started to look at that is that we see in the corridors and the PR marketing processes for the new GTLD process how some entities do believe that they want to and will be able to use an email address that, for example, is info@example, where example is the top-level domain. We also see people wanting or having interest or having web pages which just are http://example with just a top-level domain. That is something that in the DNS protocol itself, of course, is possible to resolve. But practically, it will not work, is our preliminary thinking, and that's why we would like to look more carefully at this, because it might be the case that we have this is a specific example where there is a difference between theory and practice. And I have all my life as an engineer been saying, in theory there is no difference between theory and practice, but in practice there is. And this is what we will have a very close look at. For example, if you in a web browser type in something which does not have any dots, if you do that in the Chrome browser, it will do a Google search. If you type it in on a Mac in Safari, it will do a multicast DNS query on the local network within the local broadcast domain. There are so in various applications and computers, there are many, many, many things happening if it is the case that you don't have a dot. So the dot itself in a domain name is an indicator that DNS should be used. Okay? And that is why there is a difference between, yes, you can look up things in DNS that don't have any dots, but in practice it will not work because the query will not reach the DNS. But, as I said, we will have a look at it, and we will come back. On top of that, we, of course, are working on optimizing our own process and procedures. For example, coming up with an easy mechanism for people like you to tell us which one of our reports you like the most. And we all know the like buttons and all those kind of things. Because we, just like you, we don't want to spend our time when we only write between 4 and 6 reports a year. Why should we spend all the energy of writing one of those reports and then no one reads it? So we want to know as early as possible if we're doing a good job. And then I pointed out the membership committee, interaction with various groups like I'm here today. We had a meeting with the board yesterday to bring them up to on the current state of security on the internet, etc. So that is approximately what we're doing at the moment. And now I'm happy to answer questions. Thank you.
Oh, thank you very much. Good morning, everybody. Do you have questions for yes?
Good morning. My name is Yaobi. I want to know, after you do your work, the result, it is a recommendation or... Okay, I'm saying after your work, the result, it is a recommendation to the board for a technical implementation, because my understanding is that you are an advisory committee, and you just said that you want to have feedback after your work from the community. So if it is something technical, do you think that you can get the input from the community? It's something really technical. Thank you.
When we are done with our reports, they are passed to the board, and that there is a board resolution that the report is accepted by ICANN. That is correct. But it doesn't have to be in the report a recommendation that ICANN board should act. Okay. Some of the reports are recommendations, for example, that ICANN staff should do something. Sometimes there is a recommendation that another part of the ICANN community should do something. Sometimes the report is just information, for example, to registrants. Sometimes it's just information to registries and registrars, but not a recommendation to ICANN or, for example, GNSO to update the registrar agreement. So you cannot say, so it's not the case that reports result in explicit recommendations for some kind of action. Sometimes there are documents just for the internet community. But it is part of the work of creating the report to decide who the report targets. And who it targets, we try to write in the document. That said, you point out a very good thing, because what we have seen is that we got much better feedback on the reports that clearly indicate who their target. And the generic reports that just talk about the sky is blue and the wind is blowing in that direction, gravity goes down, etc., no one likes those.
This is Fatimata. Thank you, Patrick. Cheryl?
Thank you.
And Alun after Cheryl.
Thank you. Cheryl Langdonor for the Transcript Record. Just wishing to catch from what Yavi was asking and what Patrick was answering. When the ESSEC has identified part of a report that is relevant to our community, so the end user, the registrant at large in any way, shape or form, be it within ICANN or outside of ICANN, is part of the target audience. I wondered, would ESSEC and the staff from ICANN that assist you be able to assist our regional leads and our ALS members, who is what is at the table here today, because they're the interface for getting that word, that message, that information out to the end points where it really needs to be. And I think there's a sort of an opportunity for socialisation here that we're missing, Patrick.
That's a very good point to bring up. But on the other hand, that is also one of the reasons that ALAC is one of the very, very, very few groups that we do have incoming liaisons from. And we completely rely on that individual, not absolutely not speaking on behalf of ALAC, but having a person being the incoming liaison that speak in ESSEC as an ESSEC member with the experience that that individual bring back from the discussion in ALAC. So yes, I completely agree with what you're saying, and that kind of cross-communication is something that I think can be improved, and we are trying to do the best we can to improve that.
Alun Traoré. My
first question. First question was asked by Cheryl. Thank you. My second question is, in reference to your relation with UDF, do you have any relation with IDF? Thank you.
Okay, I'm sorry. I heard IDF, sure. But now I understand. Connection with IETF, but I think that more than half of the ESSEC members are active participants in the IETF. I do think that I have two out of the four working group chairs for the DNS-related working groups also be members of ESSEC. I also think that I have one-third of the DNS directorate in the IETF also part of ESSEC. So we do have good relationship by having individuals. We don't participate in both organizations. And I think the membership committee that review incoming applicants, they would absolutely recommend ESSAC to appoint new members to ESSAC if these, the ones we have, would leave. So it's extremely important for us to be in close relationship with IETF. And let me just explain why. ESSAC is looking at what ICANN community is doing regarding DNS from an operational standpoint. In the policy development process that we have in ICANN, sometimes we see that there are some technical changes that should be needed or could improve our work to the protocols, for example, WIS. It is from the ESSAC point of view, not ICANN that should do any technical standard and protocol changes. Instead, we should ask the IETF to do those changes. If it is the case that we have good participation in ESSAC and in IETF from the same individuals, that is how we are engaging work in the IETF on updating the protocol, given the findings that we have got in the ESSAC, in some ESSAC report. So we are trying to absolutely ensure that the technical work regarding protocols is done in the IETF or wherever the protocol is created, but the operational guidelines on how to use the protocol is what we can do in ICANN.
Thank you, Patrick. Any other questions? So thank you very much, Patrick Forstrom, for coming here to explain your work. Thank you. So can we have a big clap for him?
Thank you. And I will be here until tomorrow evening, if it is the case that someone would like to talk to me separately. Thank you. And thank you for inviting me.
Thank you, Patrick. Fatima Dasila here. So our next topic will be the presentation of the policy group exercise. We had five groups, and may I call on group one, or should you? Oh, one question for who?
Remote.
On the remote? Oh, but Patrick is gone.
Patrick is not gone.
Ibra Sila is in the room. Oh, I didn't see him. Oh, okay, so he's asking the question to Patrick, so it's fine. So let's move on. May I call on group one to present their work? Ready? Group one. Okay. Sophia.
I'm going to try to explain what we have done for this research work, the approach that we took. We do not have a document that we can deliver right at this time. So if we had the opportunity to transmit it to you, send it to you within a few days, we can discuss a little more. We did a little research, each one of us, for information. We had an approach for the proposition that we will make, proposal that we will make. We will present it in a few days. Thank you, Sophia. Do we have at least main line on what you learned? Tell me if you found something. We saw that when it comes to the agreement, when it was published, It was published in 2001. In 2009, it was reviewed, and it was then a version in 2009. And 2000, after that, there was a discussion in reference to the legal decisions that were disposition that were on this agreement. Therefore, we also saw. Could you at least talk about your topic? You talk about the agreement, but tell us about your topic. The question was. Just give me a minute to read the question. The question.
Law enforcement provision of the RAA. Voilà, c'était la question.
This was the question. So we could see what are the dispositions where they were taken in reference to everything that is repression reference to this agreement. So as I was saying, we saw that what the general approach that was taken by ICANN when there is improvement or research when it comes to some, again, clauses of this agreement, and we will try in this sense. We saw what the ICANN approach was, and we are going to try to make a proposal, our own proposal. I do not know if we are on the right path, but my name is Yovi. Just so I can add to what she said, first of all, I want to say this exercise, we found it very interesting because it allowed us to start a work. The accreditation agreement was a document a little bit heavy, and we found the exercise very good. We are trying to enforce. We forced ourselves to read a lot of document. This is where we are. We're wondering if it would be nice not to ask us to conclude today and give us a few days so we can go deeper into it. And then we can also contact the person who made the presentation at time to have clarification on how to put together our response. This is the work of the group right now. Thank you.
Thank you, Yaovi. I think that that's what we wanted to do, but I also would like to know who are the members of the group? Well, the members of the group was Michel, Yaovi, Raja, and me. And what about Etienne? Thank you. Michel, you want to add something? Yeah, they said it all. Is there a question for group number one? Or a comment? Yes, Aja? Yes, I wanted to add that we also understood that we need to look at the agreement with the new GTLDs. Well, I think that, and Fatimata speaking here, I think that from your research, and you're going to put together a small document that you're going to share with us. We're going to know a lot more about it, about those topics, and this is what we're trying to do here very well. We're not going to give you a firm date, but when will we get that document? Do you have an idea? I would like to say that and bring the attention to the fact that we are still debating the topic between the GAC and the structure, and we saw on Tuesday they were still debating it Tuesday. So this is an evolution. There's still an evolution, but we think that next Wednesday we will be finished with our debate and discussion. By the end of next week, you will have, and we'll try to send you an answer and a report. Thank you, Yahuvi. This is the type of answer I was looking for. Thank you. We are going, if there are no comments for our group number one, let's move to group number two. Very well. Can we have on the screen, on Adobe Connect, can I have my screen or should I use that? How does it work? Do you need to use this plug? Can somebody help? Maybe you can click on the link in Adobe Connect. This is Fatimata. We are waiting to set it up. I would like to say that we don't have that many people in the room. We said we would start at 7:30. That's why I arrived in 7:30 on the dot. So that's what we wanted to do, start at 7:30. It was said yesterday. It was very clear. We can always change the program, so we have to respect the program. You cannot say to everybody 7:30 and then start at 7 with half of the room empty the next morning. Well, thank you, Fatimata. I am speaking in the name of Group 2. Lakhdi Mandaire from Tunisia. Yaron Taoré, Mali, and Dieke Solé from the RDC. Est-ce que
about IPv6 addressing? Yes or no? Bien. C'est non.
The answer is no. The answer is no. Why? Because look at what we have on the map here. The addresses are managed by region, by regional registries, and Afrinic is in charge. If we can go down a little bit, you can see the relationship with the other registries. Matt, please scroll down. Yes. Here you see the allocation, the internet resource allocation, and here you can see that HIANA, the internet assigned numbers authority, does allocate the addresses to registers that do allocate the addresses to the end users. And in Africa, we have Afrinic, and for 2 years, they've been giving IPv6 addresses for no extra fee if you already have an IPv4. And we've been having training in Africa to encourage people to go to IPv6. The protocol is being discussed in the IETF level. We do work not with IANA, but with IETF. And that's the reason why we do not have any relationship, and we do not deal directly with IANA for IPv6, but there is a PDP, a policy development process regarding the allocation of those addresses, if we want to talk about IPv6 policies, we're going to deal with the PDP procedure, AFRINIC procedure, which is open. Thank you. This is Fatimata. Thank you, Didier. What should we do? Applaud? Applause? Thank you very much. My question would be to ask the person who asked the question, why should we deal with IANA? That person knows that we do have regional registrants. So, well, I think that during our debate, I don't know if somebody else wants to talk about it, but we didn't debate that. I don't know how those questions were prepared. I don't know if they were well debated. Maybe some of those questions should have been eliminated. You're right. Thank you. Thank you, Didier Fatimata here. We asked each presenter to prepare a question, and that's how, like I said, we have a presenter, and the presenter knew the structure of each region, and of course, you have registries in each region. That's pretty, that's simple. So who are the presenters on the on those questions? Do you have any, Fatimata here again, do you have any questions or comments for Didier? Sophia? Oh, it's not a comment for Didier, but this is a request. I can say the presenters or those who propose some topics, shouldn't they be present here to tell us if we're going in the right direction? Fatimata, that's a good point you're raising. And maybe Heidi or Gisela could tell us, but I don't think those people were able to be here for a long time. They're very busy. And but it's a good point. It's a scheduling issue. That's why I'm sure they're not here with us today. Didier, go ahead. Yeah, but for a pedagogical point of view, they should have debated about those questions a little bit more, I think. Didier Cassolet. But for a training aspect, they should have given answers to see if those answers were answering their needs and expectations. Well, maybe they want to take their time, but what we can ask, you have all the results, we can ask them to do some feedback, to give us some feedback after what you did. Yeah, I think it's the best solution, and since we don't have much time, we could go on and on and on for a week. Any other questions or comments for Didier, group number two? No? Thank you, Didier. Group number three. Yes? The group number three is composed of Charles Gay, Arnaud Moulenda, Alioune Diop, and Chombé Baudouin. The question is the following, two parts. I'm going to say it in English and then in French.
Was asked to develop principles and rules for expanding the DNS. What would you identify as the top three priorities? How would you identify the highest risks, and what step could be taken to reduce the risk of these problems?
If you were asked to have rules and principles for the expansion of the system, the DNS, what are you going to identify as the three principal priorities and the highest risks, and what are the measures that can be taken to reduce those risks associated with those problems? Well, we're going to ask Charles to expand and answer those questions.
This is one of the most important topics when it comes to the internet, because the DNS runs the entire internet. And there are some point that when you reach and perhaps the organization continues to grow, you see that it becomes also complicated to maintain and correctly run the DNS. So we met as a group, and we decided on some important things that we can do to curtail some of the challenges that we have. We are going to compile our report, and in a orderly manner, because we did some major things, but we didn't conclude because some of our members decided that they were going to bring their findings to me, then I'm going to compile them. But then, up to this time, all have not brought. So before I leave this center today, I make sure that I'm going to compile everything and then send them over to the board. Yeah. Thank you.
This is Fatimata. Thank you, Charles. Again, I'm going to ask the same question I asked Sophia. Can we have the major ideas or, outcomes of your research?
Okay, some things that I came across is the DNS is absolutely mission critical. And there are some challenges that goes with the DNS. Like, for instance, if a DNS is not working and you lost your ability to communicate with the outside world, and then through the internet, and customers also will lose their ability to contact you. That is one of the most important aspects of the DNS that we discovered. And another thing is that the managing and maintaining the DNS also becomes mission critical. And then here is where you see that it brings out challenges that we have to face. Managing and maintaining DNS can present a challenge for any sized organization. And then for a company to create and manage and maintain their own DNS means using its very expensive IT professionals. If I have my company and I want the DNS to be run effectively and maintained, I need professional IT. And then in doing this, what you see is that it also becomes cost effective if the organization is not financially capable. So, but when you come down, another thing there is that the administration of the DNS becomes time consuming. Okay, so these are some of the things that we try to look at, and then we came down to see the security updates of the DNS as well. It's also very important and critical. So these are some of the things that we look at. But then if you maintain your DNS and it's maintained, the administration is well, what you see is that it also helps for you to get outside easily to communicate, and for people to communicate back to you, it becomes very easy. But if those things are not put in its proper perspective, what you see is that it becomes very difficult for you to get out and for they to get to you. So these are some of the aspects of the DNS that we look at, and we are planning to develop further when we get all of our reports in.
Fatima,
I guess you will go towards providing recommendations, you know, about the DNS. Tijani, you have the floor.
Charles, the question was about the DNS extension. As you know, with the new GTLDs, the DNS will be extended. And there was a lot of criticism about ICANN accepting so many new GTLDs because people said this will cause trouble to the DNS. So the question was this. What are the threats? People were speaking about threats. What are the threats you think we may face with the DNS extension? This is the question. So,
like one of the three major things that the challenges that we have if the DNS is extended, that ICANN is looking at critically, is the administration and even the security of the DNS. So if those things are put into its their proper perspective, then of course there will be no problem like extending the DNS. So ICANN is strategically looking at the administration and the security aspect of the DNS. So these are the areas in which our concentration has been focused that we're going to do. We're going to develop more and then give our presentation. Submit them.
Fatimata, again, thank you, Charles. Any other question or comment for Charles, group number three? Yes.
Arnold Moulenda, République démocratique du Congo.
It is not a question. It is an addition, a support for Charles. It's very sensitive, as you said. It is a great question. We cannot go there very fast and end up with bad answers. We, in our development of policies, that what we are going to produce, the document we're going to produce, the extension of DNS, it's true, we cannot refuse it. We have to accept it. But we take refuge behind the DNSSEC, the security of these DNS, because today you cannot limit anything. Africa is growing. There will be probably all the domain names, but we have to secure them, because without security, I don't think ICANN will have too much work to do behind monitoring. There are domain names which show up for a minute and then disappear. There are a lot of problems with banks. There are a lot of problems with money, with finance, and there is an attention, a caution that ICANN must take behind all these domains. And unfortunately, we are among us here. We work on this. The users, they do not know anything of what we do. I will give an example. There are sites that exist for 2 minutes. You have someone who takes a copy of Yahoo, and the 2 minutes, it creates a site with 2 pages. You put your logon, your password, and then the site disappears. And these people, in 2 minutes in the world, he made how much money? And he's going to have, and your banks are not protected. And it will be a catastrophe. So the ICANN must not be limited because world is changing. And as we say, the map, as Didier showed it in Africa, we know there's a lot of work to do. This was just a comment on my part. Thank you. We applaud group number three for his work, for their work. And we will wait because Charles promised to give us the document before he leaves Dakar, right? Yes, we will wait for your answer. Let's go now to group number four. Group number four. Hello? I'm waiting for my presentation to be up on the screen. All right. it just didn't work. We can start until then. Oh.
Is IDN. As you know, there is about six case studies now, six teams do our fine work, very good work on different six languages. For our team, we choose one of them, one of these case studies, we choose the Arabic one because I know Arabic and we can discuss it more and really make some problems for the others, members of the team, but they do always work. Good work and involved in this project, in this discussion. Next slide. This is just an introduction about variants, what variants mean. Sorry for that, the Arabic didn't appear correctly in this slide, but it's we can say it's a difference of characters, which means something may be similar, may be identical in shape or similar, used in the domain. In this example, it didn't appear correctly, like the word Saudiya or Saudiya with at the end with Tamar Bota or Ha. It's letters in Arabic, they look similar, not identical, because there is dots in one, and they may be used sometimes using this way later and the other time using the other letter. This just to show what's the meaning of variance in the domains. In our study, we negotiate two important things. Well, what user expect when using IDNs, what variance will affect him, and the other thing, what this will affect the stability and security of the internet. So we will start with user expectation. Next slide, please. There is a lot of users' expectations we can find here, and very important. What user expect? Normally, in typing domain name or in using the internet, what user expect? Expect a lot of things. Easy of use. When we study it, it's very important user to not be complicated to type a domain name. So we don't user don't expect to use a special combination of keys to type one character, and this is what will happen in many cases on the variants. Like example, he will need to use shift and character to get a special character which is not there, and this will be a big problem, I think, for the IDNs in the future. And this, there is, I think, even the team discuss it, but not with a complete view, because still they think it's important to use such characters. Our team thinks it's important try to avoid using such characters, so as to make it easy of use to the user. Next slide. Also, user don't expect to know the correct spelling. This is a very strange case, because everyone thinks no user must know the correct spelling of any word in there. But in some language, especially in Arabic, there is some words many users type it in different. Say, for example, word communication in Arabic, ittisalat. You can use alif, you can use with hamza, blow it without hamza. It's the same word, not a big issue in Arabic. So if user want to reach this domain, what he expects that if he typed it anyway, anyhow, he will reach the domain. So user expect not to know the correct spelling. And time, and this is a case of variance what to do and various tables and such things. Next slide, please. Also, easy to read domain names. And this is very important things because in Arabic is not like other languages. Maybe other language, there is some other language like it, but Arabic letters be connected to each other in some way that if you don't separate the words with something, you may not know what's written there. It's difficult, not like in English. Every character is alone in English. So, what we think here, user expect separation of words so as to easily identify the words in a domain. And in this case, in this point, there is a big argument about using a character called Zwing. And it's a very, very strange character. Even I think 99% of Arab don't know about it at all. So, and in this study case, there's argument, you know, we have to use this character. Our group thing, it's using such characters which is not known by language users. And which is not easily to be reached, and which by the keyboard will be a big problem for them. Even if it make the word, the domain easily to read and can be identified correctly, but it will be a problem. Number four. Next slide, please. There's a missed one, but I will say it. No strange characters. One of the case very important here in Arabic and in some languages that this script are the case discussing the Arabic script, not the Arabic language, and that make a big problem. The difference is that some other language using Arabic script, but they are not Arabic language. For example, Persian, Urdu, other language. That make many strange characters in the language for the users. For example, the Arabic users don't know about some characters which are using in Persian, in Urdu, and vice versa. So, what user expect here? User never expect to use strange characters for him. Some characters are identified in certain language, as I said, as in Persian and so on. Next slide, please. The back one, please. Back. Useful keyboard. One of the problems which will face IDNs, Arabic users, especially the keyboard available in computers. User expect to find all characters he need to reach. So as to reach any domain available in his keyboard, and that's not the current situation now, especially in some special characters. And this also will need to be somehow many in the future in the manufacturing. I don't know how to deal with it in the future, but somehow it has to be solved, this problem. Next slide, please. Also, in some languages, especially in Arabic, sometimes at this point we say they did discuss a lot. They need to discuss it more. Sometimes the Arabic language is from right to left, but sometimes you have to type something from left to right, like numbers. Like if you want to type other language, other ASCII inside Arabic, if it's allowed, of course. And this also, this point have to be discussed so that user can find it easily to deal with these issues. This is the main six points or expectation We think some of them has been discussed in the study, some of them not, but we think these are the main six expectations from users. Okay, we go to maintain how to maintain security and stability. Next slide, please. To maintain the security and stability of the internet, a lot of issues must have to be taken in consideration when and before adopting IDN. For example, we just have 4 points in Harry, I will say them. We need variant management tools, which are not available today. And for example, for EPP, so that domains will be registered in mode, a lot of things, just EPP for example. They need to be developed before IDN to be adopted. And also the study case, mention it as a highlight. I think they need to discuss it more there. And also different variants may lead to different expiration dates, and this is a very important point discussed in the study. It will affect the security of the internet stability, that one domain using variant, half of it, if they are the two agreed variants for the one domain, half of it will be expired and the others half will not be expired if they didn't make a correctly and well-established management tool. Also, search engines must be updated and to deal with variants in IDN. Also, for the security, please, next slide. Next one. No, this one, okay. SSL, for example, SSL. SSL is connected to the domain. And using variants on IDN will affect this very, very seriously. Because one domain, exactly, in fact, it's maybe 6-7 domains behind it to reach this domain, if you're using variants and agree with it. And that will deal with many SSL certificate per one domain. May reach to a big, very big number of SSL to one single domain. And that's all. Next slide, please. And that's all these group members. Thank you for everyone. I hope I didn't take a lot of time. Thanks very much.
Fatimata, merci.
Yes, this is Fatimata. Thank you, Tariq. Thank you for your presentation. I would like to thank everybody and thank the entire group. I would like for Tariq to remind us of the topic, of the question that was raised. What question are you answering, Tariq?
Two important questions. The first one, what user expect? And we know it's, we discuss it in six different points. User expectation is very, very important dealing with IDNs, variants, because to make it easy. The other question is how to maintain security and internet stability with variant IDNs.
Fatimata, merci Tariq. Oui.
Yes, this is Fatimata again.
Tariq failed to mention the names or the list in the group. Okay, it's on the. Thank you.
Fatimata, merci.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Yes, we noted that. But we have now on the screen the name of all the group members. So thank you. Very good work. Do you have any questions for our friends? Additional questions? I am Didier Cassolet, and I would like to comment about the poor involvement of certain regions regarding IDNs. some regions do not participate in IDNs. Some regions of Africa, I don't know if they are lazy or lack of goodwill, but there is a good reason for that. Those regions are not affected by IDNs. In Kenya, Tanzania, Congo, we do not need IDNs. They don't use the French characters. They use English, and that's why they do not participate in those IDNs, because they use the English language. That's the reason. Fatimata, thank you, Didier. Yes, that's a good comment. Yes, it's true. When we use Latin characters, you're not interested in IDNs when you don't use them. And that is why the Arabic countries are participating, Mohamed and the others. Baudouin, want to say something? Yes, that's an issue here, because when we're going to do the extensions without the Bantu languages, those characters are not Latin script, Latin characters. New issues are going to be important, and that's my issue. And you talked about variants. We still have not resolved all the issues. That is why I want to go back to their questions, and I think we have to think in terms of variants in many of our African languages. I didn't understand your last sentence. Is that a question you're asking me or asking us? I wanted a point of clarification regarding the different variants. I was talking about the Bantu languages, Elitic, Miotic. What's that? Are you talking about Swahili? Alur, Kikongo, Chilumba. All those languages. Those are African languages, and it's going to be very complex to use them on those scripts. Thank you. Thank you very much. Those languages, aren't they written with Latin characters? No, not necessarily. What type of characters are you using for the switch? Right. I think that we have diphthongs, we have several letters, which sometimes trying to use the Latin characters, but it's not exactly the same. It's not the exact same alphabet. Thank you, Baudouin. Yeah, I think you should be a member of that IDN group, working group, and you should participate. That would be very interesting, because you have some worries, and we should work on that. I'm going to have a queue here. Thank you, Amiaouvi. And I wanted to agree with Baudouin, because we have a lot of work. We do not, and I'm not a linguist, I'm not a linguist, and I do not know everything regarding our national languages. And when we go back to our countries and we take our ALS, we deal with our ministers, we work on our national languages. Today we communicate in French or in English. And for internationalization. But in 50 years, our community will be able to work in their own languages, even if we are not specialists. This is very important to do this work and to contact the structures that are in charge, the national structures that are in charge of our languages, national languages, when we go home. We have to work with them. This is very important. We have to think about the futures. We have so much to do, and we have to move forward with it. Thank you, Fatimata. Point of information. You have six groups that work on six languages: Arabic, Chinese, Russian. They're just six languages, and the African languages are not included. And there is an effort to be made. I think that you have to contact this group, this working group, and see what you can do with them regarding those African languages. Fatimata, thank you. Tijani, Aziz, then Aline. Aziz first, Aziz, Aline. What Tijani said is nearly what I wanted to say, but I just wanted to add that there is a list, an ICANN list, regarding languages, official languages, that are going to be introduced. Do not think. And when you're looking at many African countries, or when you're looking at India, we're not going to be able to use all languages that do exist. I think you have about 11 languages that are official and that can be introduced. But you have countries like India with so many languages, for instance. Aline? Yes. Yes, let's... We can put it on the screen. For your information, this is a culture. This is the culture, and you can write each and every language of the world. Now, the Quran was written in the Nko language, and maybe this is something that is quite universal, and you can write nearly every language using the Nko alphabet, and you can deal with African languages and even European languages with it. And this is the information that I wanted to give you. You can look in on Wikipedia. This is a Nko alphabet with 26 letters that is universal. Thank you, Aluna. That's an interesting link. We have Tarek, and then Tarek first.
As in the study, I just want to say that there is 5 languages in Africa using special characters. There is 5 languages, Arabic, and in Ethiopia. I have a picture of it here in the study, and the one he said, and Vaya and Tifanak, I don't know the name, Neo Tifanak. There is 5 different scripts. Also, other languages using Latin don't need Aiden, but those 5 languages can do a lot of homework and Aiden study case here. And also, just to answer, I didn't say the names of the group, sorry of that, but I type it in the screen because it's easy to type it rather than to say it. Okay.
Fatimata, merci, Tarek. Harold?
Thank you, Tarek. Next. Thank you, Arnold. Here, I wanted to say about the issue of languages in Africa is very complex. We always have several languages in each and every African country, but it's also important that we're able to separate the issues when we're thinking about what we talk. This is the oral languages. Here, we're talking about written languages. I think that for Africa, we have several zones. We have, for written languages, we have the same word for the Bantu languages. In Congo, Muntu means man. And in Lingala, we say Mutu, in Swahili, Mutu, and in Chiruba, Mutu, it's always the same word. If we were able to divide Africa in zones, we can find about 3 or 4 of your Bantu, Nuitic, Arabic. Those are the big African zones. Maybe we should use the core language and only have one. Here is Fatimata. Next person, please.
About languages, it unites and it makes stronger the community, and as well, it brings together people's understanding, especially when it comes to doing work together. But what I have observed is most of the time we Africans, we talk about doing things. We place more emphasis on the importance of the thing, but how to do the thing is the problem. We don't put more time into it. Now, just imagine the languages we have in Africa. How many languages do we have? And what are those languages, which of them we can take to develop? And if we develop and we prepare the script for those languages, then how do we use them? Especially, you can prepare the script, but you come in also to prepare the keyboard. And how do you do this to unanimously support the evolution of the internet? That is the problem. So for us African, if we can just see what are the languages that we can develop, how many of them? The languages that are spoken vastly, and how, because there are times that you see to prepare the script becomes very difficult, even if the language is not spoken by a majority of the people. Perhaps Swahili, for instance, is spoken vastly. Can it be Zulu? Can we take some that we can work with? And I think this will not only be to promote the internet alone, but it will also bring unity and development to our continent. So it's very important that we work on that. Thank you.
Fatimata, merci Charles. Je pense que...
Thank you, Charles. I think that either Charles or Arnold, the debate that we brought up is a debate that we have to carry on with later. It is extremely important. These are debates that have been discussed already since we started the SMSI, even before Ayunde is here to testify that a lot of work has been invested in African language. Maybe we should start that project again and see if there is something we can do, because I cannot do this for you or for us on the field. We have to deal with it. Therefore, thank you. We have a good round. We had a good round table. We now are going to go to the next scheduled item. We're going to talk about the evaluation. Tijani is not going to take the floor. Thank you, Fatimata. There was an evaluation sheet that was distributed, and you probably filled it. We will start with, we're going to give you the floor so you can express important views. In your evaluation, you can express it. And at the end of the session, you will give me those sheets so we can do a feedback, a follow-up. We are going to start by you. Oh, by whom? By Saheed? We can start with you. Yes, Jenny. In reference to the evaluation sheet that we distributed at the end of the session, we will pick them up. But before that, each one of you could express whatever most important views, points that you put in that evaluation. First of all, I have an evaluation, a global evaluation to make. I said it earlier to Gisela. I think personally I'm impressed by the organization of all the different meetings, sessions, discussions with people that have different responsibilities in ICANN. I really liked formally or informally, the communication went through, interactions went through, how all this was managed. It was very natural. But behind that, there was such an organization very well thought of. And the global impression is that this this trip was right. It was worth it because we all have a lot of responsibilities. And I thought, what am I going to find there? But I'm very satisfied. Now, when it comes to the content, the detailed content of each intervention, each discussion, my appreciation is that even we had very little time, all of us had very little time because of the schedule, the agenda, the content went through. It takes, as my colleague said before, a very specific individual effort for later, especially for me, because I've learned so much during these sessions of ICANN, go back and then deepen all the domains that we're interested in. I have absolutely no... Usually, I would have to make an improvement proposal. I don't have any because I'm extremely satisfied, so I really congratulate you. Thank you, Salib. Hello, Mr. Job. Already, it's the first time I am part of the ICANN conference. I did not have any idea of what the content was. When I see what I can tell you that it allowed me to understand the ICANN's mission, also to see really what were the concerns of Africa within the mission of ICANN, also the people, what the interaction, and see who does what. It is it showed me how much work was done by the organization. At the beginning, I was a little bit, I did not quite follow. There was a lot of different organization that was taking care of what ICANN. As I went along, I could really see everything that was happening, everything that is happening within the organization. For me, I have nothing else to add. I'm very satisfied by the organization and all the information that I obtained here. Thank you.
In Accra, that's in 2005. So we registered with we sent our application. But for the past 6 years, actually, I've been utterly confused about ICANN activities. I did not really know their core mission. So there was I was also confused about the jargons, IDNS.
Donc je ne comprenais pas le jargon, je ne comprenais pas les DNS, je ne comprenais absolument rien à toute cette terminologie. Et donc je suis si content d'être venu à Dakar à cette conférence où j'ai tant appris sur les concepts, sur la terminologie de l'ICANN et vraiment ce renforcement des capacités.
Mais c'est window into ICANN activities. So I know the mission, I know the core focus, and I also know the challenges, and also know similar things that I would not have known if I did not come to this conference, but especially this capacity building. I mean, it's like a workshop. You wake up and 4 to 6, and then you are here at 7 o'clock. It's like a school actually. It's not just a capacity building. It's much more than that. And I've learned so much. So my ignorance has, at least, it has, is going. Of course, I know I still have to read more. But it is a very good, it's a very good window into ICANN activities. Thanks.
Good morning. My name is Prince Enin, Africa Youth Foundation. Actually, this is my first time participating in ICANN workshop or ICANN conference. and I agree with my brother. I've really learned a lot about ICANN 8 activities, its structures, what it intends, and how it wants to generate more participation, that's global participation. My only reservations or my comments I have to make is with regard to increasing global participation, is it to what level is ICANN doing to increase global participation? Because in Africa, let me put my country, Ghana, as an example, many of our people, or even the internet users, they are not, how do I put this, they are not getting the benefits. Most of the internet users in my area, they use it only to for playing of games, watching of sports, or news and there, but the business aspects of it, I think we lack most of the internet users in my community. We lack those ideas. They only use it for entertainment purposes. So I suggest if ICANN can do more on the regions, maybe if they can do more outreach exercises, and then so that in our regions or in our localities they can have some more outreach programs, so that to enable our people to get to know the benefits of internet as it is in Europe, because it seems like we are far. Europe and America are far outpaced Africa when it comes to, though we are getting somewhere, but majority of internet users in Africa or in my area, they are only benefiting on the internet for entertainment, but not for the business aspect. That's my reservation. Thank you.
Thank you. May I ask you please to speak about the evaluation of the course more than other thing? And be brief, because we are running out of time. Next one, please.
Well, I have been with the ICANN community for almost 3 years now. And there is something that I still find it difficult to understand. That is, when it comes to the overall participation of the GAC community in the policy making of the internet of ICANN, and when it comes to compliance. So right there, I see that on the 25th, on the 24th, we deal with policy development, and then on the 25th, we also deal with compliance. So these two areas, when it comes to the policy development of ICANN, I think GAC should be taken into consideration. Members of the GAC should be fully involved. But out of the countries that are in the world, how many of them are represented within the policy making of ICANN? You see, because with that will also take into consideration the compliance. If the countries are represented within the policy making, then the bottom up policy strategy that we talk about will easily be met. Because, like for me, my country has no one among the GAC. Then how do we know about that the policy is not affecting us, or we are benefiting from the policy? So I propose that. Yeah, there should be a little space given for the GAC community.
Oui, Fatimata, je sais que nous avons beaucoup de choses à nous raconter mutuellement, mais n'oublions pas que nous avons la liste et que...
Et nous... We have a list, and if we can get back on those topics, we can do it on the list. Unfortunately, we don't have enough time. I'm going to suggest this. For the evaluation, there are positive points that were said. Does anybody has a positive point of view that was not told? Because we only have 3 minutes left. If there are negative points as well, let's say it, but fast. We do not need to ask everyone to intervene to repeat the same thing. Are there any positive point of view that were not told? I suggest that someone lift their hands and say something. Didier, I think it was the relevance and disponibility of availability of each speakers. I really appreciated that. Didier, Baudouin, and then Peters. Just a little point. I would like to thank, if maybe the others not made, I would like to ask you for your authorization. I want to thank you, Aziz and GD, that was here for all the work for the ALS that he made. The flag, we need to change it because it's the wrong flag, by the way. Thank you, Baudouin. I will ask everyone to be as brief as Didier was. Thank you.
To make any observation on a daily basis on this, that is just my own input. So what I just chose to do, just to summarize my whatever, but generally, everything that was done here between Sunday and today is very, very comprehensive, and it's actually, this is my third ICANN meeting, and this meeting has actually expanded my scope of understanding and then made it very clear as to where and how I want to belong into the community of ICANN. And I want my conclusion is that we continue this a capacity building at every ICANN meeting. Thank you very much.
Fatimata, merci Peters. Sophia, mais maintenant c'est des secondes que je donne parce que
now I'm giving seconds, not minutes, because we're done. It's already 9 o'clock. Sophia, 10 seconds. Yaovi, and then Michelle. 10 seconds each. You already took the 10 seconds. Okay, since this
renforcement de capacité et comme son nom l'indique, renforcement de capacité.
This capacity building program would have to be done again when it comes to the evolution of the theme as they change. That there could be a reinforcement. It means that there was capacities before. I would think that there should be sponsorship of the ALS before they come, so it could be more beneficial during the meetings. Thank you for all the team. My proposal is such. Next time, the evaluation, even if it's 5 minutes, so we have to give evaluation at the end or after the second day, so we'll have the evaluation. It's very important, and it will help us to better follow. Michelle, I would like to say thank you to all the team of all this all the speakers for during this first meeting of reinforcement of capacities. They followed, and they really did a good job. Thank you. Thank you, everyone. I think, Tijani, would you like to say something? Yes. There is no more evaluation. We noted all your recommendation. Thank you so much for all the thanks and the congratulations that we'll share with you, by the way, because we all worked together. We all did that together. We prepared together those few days. And really, we thank you for your participation. Those sheets of evaluation that are already done, please give them to us. We will thank you. We will continue this coaching online. And now that we know you better, the communication will be much easier. And once again, thanks to the staff of ICANN. Thanks to everyone. And we'll see you soon. Thank you.